Okay, that's fine.
I'll let you know how to adjust.
Okay, so you're difference in about 16 or so.
Yeah, maybe 20
seconds.
I'll keep track.
All right.
People are saying, what are they babbling about here?
Oh, we're babbling because it's part of the
incremental daylight savings time. We've gone by a street level here, so
incremental daylight savings time. Oh, give or take 3 minutes
what
or 10 seconds or yeah.
Daylight savings. Don't get Robert started.
Don't even think about getting me started. No, right. You don't want to do that.
I'm starting fresh here. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Richard Pollack.
Nice to see you.
Hey, it is wonderful to see you.
It's beautiful.
I'm looking out the window. We have blue sky with little light furry cloud looking things going on.
Nothing but blue sky.
Blue sky.
All right, that'll do.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, we have got so much stuff on for Radio Science News today, Robert. I just almost can't believe it.
I know. Hey, you're listening to Radio Science News. This is episode number 778 in a series. This is March 27th, 2021. If you're into prime numbers, you know that anything that ends in an 8 is not a prime number.
No.
So the factors are 2 and 389. 389 is not one of my favorite primes, but
that's
it does come up every now and then, for instance, today. But
I've been watching for it. I've been anticipating.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah, okay. So what we're going to do, as we do every week, if you've been listening to one or more of the last 777 in the series, what we do, we get you to smartcenter.org. So if you log in, and if you're driving, please put your car into non-manual mode. Yes. Do not
pull
be
over.
Doing. Yes. Yes. Let the car drive itself while you're doing this. Go to www.smartcenter.org, smartcenter.org. That takes you to my favorite webpage on the internet, all things Smart Center. And then, if you find the little trifecta rainbows there, the little triplicate,
triplicate t-shirts,
just above that is Radio Science News. I'm gonna click on that and ooh, wow. My computer is acting very nice this morning.
Lightning
fast. Just popped right up. I don't know what's going on. And that takes you to the launch pad of science. And there's all kinds of really cool things about the live broadcast streaming and the various partners that we have and so forth. So if you're interested, you look through all that. But on the phase down just a little bit, and you'll find Saturday, March 27th, 2021. And we've got Dr. Bright. We've talked about Dr. Bright before.
Bright. Is that a British show?
Dr. Bright.
Dr. who? Dr. Bright.
Dr. Bright.
Now, I've got Redfield up here.
Redfield.
Now, this is a story. This is one that popped up again. I'm a little irritated by this story, but I kept thinking, remember, was it Dr. Frankenstein? Who had Renfield? Who was... Oh, that was Count Dracula's.
That was Count...
Renfield.
Yes.
The one that ate all the
Renfield, yes.
I feel kind of the same way about Dr. Redfield, but
okay.
I don't want to be...
That has me interested.
Well, then there's
the COVID team.
The COVID team, and you know, it's interesting that there's a... we're going to briefly look at these because
okay.
I have... There's so many other stuff that I'll let people... The idea of Dr. Bright, Redfield, the COVID team. This is the past COVID team. They're getting a big interview on CNN coming up.
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, and the first thing that's come out of it is what I'm going to say are some statements by Dr. Redfield that I find a little anyway.
Okay.
Then there's the thing about the
copper
variants.
Mask.
Variants.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Those jumped ahead. Copper mask is actually related to COVID too because
right.
This is something that we kind of talked about before.
Way back when at the very beginning.
Yeah, I think we had a story about the fact that when they were looking at surfaces were antiviral,
yep.
They found that a copper surface
copper
literally
surface.
Killed within seconds almost
yes,
any virus.
Real quick.
There. So that was cool. Now, we have this little story about the ECAT that this
okay.
is going to be very
looking intriguing. I want to know more.
The for those of you who visit the Suez Canal, the...
I that is one place that I'd love to go just to see it.
Well, I did hear that people... There's always good news, bad news.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Evergreen company and their ship, the Ever Given, which has completely blocked like a cork the Suez Canal. It has caused lots and lots of tourist traffic around the Cape of Good Hope.
So tourist traffic, yes.
Everybody's had to go.
Everybody wants to see
that. I thought spring break in South Africa. Cool story on Mars water.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at this next series. Ever given Mars water nanowire jellyfish squid lemurs?
Ooh, sounds like a buffet.
And then we have, indoor dining. Okay, we're finally going to get to the Neanderthal, and I did find a new chart that I think is going to be pretty important to us.
So, and this is called the variant chart.
The variant
chart. That's got undertones.
Since what I'd like to do is like maybe we're going to talk about variants later.
Okay.
Just for the fun of it, I want to try to get a lot of the COVID stuff out of the way, and I'm going to apologize for the fact that I'm going to say maybe touch briefly on these stories. People are going to go, you're just skimming right over the top, but, so you can talk about the jellyfish squid lemurs.
You can always go back and you can
do a better job than we could, right? Yeah, you could analyze
Is that possible? Of course that's possible.
Let's look at the variant chart.
Okay, let's go to the variant chart all the way on the far right-hand side
and
of
your
screen.
And notice where these things are coming from now, Robert. They're not coming from, some unaccountable place. It's from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC.
Oh, good.
And so it has all this
stuff. Wait. No. You're not saying that the variants are coming from there.
No. This data is coming.
The chart is coming from there. Okay,
and I'm going to say that when we're talking about the data, we do appreciate things that you can easily grasp. And some of this takes a few more minutes to grasp. But this information, I'm thinking, wow, all this information was being collected and then nobody wanted to publish it during the, who is it? The predecessor that we're talking about.
Yes, the predecessor.
The predecessor coming to a theater near you. So anyway, I'll just scroll down a little bit and you will see where it says SARS-CoV-2 variants. And this is like presently circulating in the United States.
I like bar graphs.
Well, and the thing about the bar graphs that surprised me, because I'm thinking, wow, how many bars? And then look, they're basically showing the entire mix, right?
Right. So this is a bar graph in time. The first bar graph to the left is January 2nd, 2021.
And that's not too far. That's not too
not
far
Not too
the
far
past.
Back in the past. Then it's January 16th
every
and January
weeks.
30th.
Yeah.
Then looks like February 13th, February 27th,
and the latest
and
one,
March 13th.
They have some asterisks and, because it's not all in yet.
And the B1 is staying about the same, and then it starts getting less and less. But the B1.2, look, that's the big one. That's getting less and less. The other is getting less and less.
Well, now, the thing that you have to realize is when I thought other, I said, which is it, one other? No, this is like
no,
all
like
of the
others.
No,
it's like other others.
But here's the important.
Is
I know
the
that
B117
you're like a,
is
you like
growing.
Beige, right? You know, like
yes.
That's a nice color
that,
for your
that,
garage or
the,
whatever.
The B117 back in January 2nd. Was almost an indiscernibly thin line.
Look
and then
it
got a little thicker two weeks later, and then about 2 millimeters, and then almost
a centimeter.
So what would you
say from this, Robert?
I think it's exponential growth is what it looks like.
Wow.
I would say that the B117 is exponential growth. What's really interesting is it's a larger exponential growth than the B1429, whatever that is. And then we're getting the B1526, which is that purple lavender, which didn't even seem to have an existence when this chart first started. So, there's some interesting things occurring. And as you've probably been hearing on the news and as we've been seeing on Radio Science
Time
News,
for spring break.
Yes, time for spring break. No, that's not what we're saying.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, too. So,
what you need to consider is that the vaccine was designed for the B1.2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's perfectly fine because that's still the majority big one.
Yeah.
But after about February 27th, it turns out that when you take everything else and combine it, it's more than the B1.2.
Well, I actually heard somebody say that.
That's really scary.
In a very short period of time, I wish I could have found the article, but they're saying that it'll at some point in the very near future,
the B1.2 will be go
like
away.
90, well, the one that's the B1.1, the UK variant, the one that's the most, they're saying it's going to be like 90% of the cases.
Yeah. Yes.
So
and this is why, folks, you need to take your vaccine as quickly as you possibly can.
And continue to wear your mask.
Because the more people that cannot spread this are places that these variants will not spawn.
Yeah.
Okay? This is why we need to do this. And this is why we also need to get, and I hate to say this, shots in the arm, but I'd rather have a microneedle array. But the shots in the arms has to not just be for the rich countries, it has to be for everybody,
for
because
world, yeah.
this is going on everywhere on the planet. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to turn around and go, oh, good, we got the vaccine for the B.1.2. And then you go, but there is no B.1.2.
And
it's
just,
gone.
Just because there's so much stuff here, let me call your, if you look over to the little breakdown, all the different colors.
Whoa,
first of all, they're
colors.
Going, well, gee, how many variants? Well, we got the B.1.2, the 1.17, 1.49, you know, those are the common lineages. And there's the ones that are, when they say viruses of interest or concern.
Plus the other.
There's the P.2, the B.1.
Wow.
Look at all. And so the point is a lot of people are doing good science and very definitive stuff. Now scroll down, because I know, Robert, we were thinking, wow, man, spring break, we could go look. What are some of these states that are completely open now?
Let's see.
Proportions of SARS. These are the variants of concern by state. So, oh, wow. If you go to, look at the, oh, man, something.
What?
Something jumped out of my chart. Let me have to go back. I must have touched something.
Something jumped out of your chart. That's scary.
Oh,
I don't like it when things jump out of my chart.
Okay, well, so for example, I'm thinking Florida. Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Arizona only has 1.2 of the B.1.1.7, but Florida, that's where I was thinking spring break would be the great
13.2%.
Wow. But then look at Arizona, the B.1.427, B.1.429, it's 25.7%, but it hasn't been. Now, when I see these numbers, this doesn't make me feel that there's a good chance that the testing hasn't, you know, been sufficient to make all these numbers really accurate. But there certainly are trends here. What does it look like in West Virginia? Oh, they're not even on there.
I don't see West Virginia. We didn't make the cut.
Oh, well, we didn't make the cut. That's okay. All right.
Oh, well.
So the chart, there's a lot of good stuff here. Continue to take a look at good data. While we've looked at the variant chart, why don't we go back in our quick look at the COVID topics. And let's scroll over to, we're on the radioscience.news.org page, and we're gonna skip over to variants.
Okay, because, let's go to variants.
And maybe put some of this in context. And this is a thing that's basically showing which, you know, here's what we, it says U.S. COVID-19 cases caused by variants. And these are the new ones that we're sure of. So as you can see, the one that's really got people concerned is the B.1.1.7.
Yeah.
And the B.1.351. What I found interesting is, according to this, the variant, there's 8,000 some cases, number of jurisdictions reporting. When I scroll down, because I was thinking, so, you know, where would the last place you'd want to go for, Robert, for spring
probably
break?
Probably Florida or Michigan.
Oh, Michigan is it's high. Yeah, when you float your pointer over any of these things, Michigan has got 986 of the 1.17, zero of the P.1, and again, this is what they've been able to determine.
So far.
And then go to Florida, and it's like over
1,042
it's got them all.
Of the B.1.1.7.
Oh, but you have a smorgasbord of variants.
Smorgasbord of variants.
Oh, boy. Okay. So this has a bunch of really good information.
It says over here you've got American Samoa Territory, Guam Territory, Marshall Islands.
There are people collecting real
in
data.
In American Samoa, which I lived there for quite some time, the B.1.1.7, zero. The P.1, zero. The B.1.351, zero. You know why?
Testing.
They shut that place down.
Yeah, that's true.
They
and
shut
it's also,
that down before anything happened.
It's
because
also
bad
know, the
things
entire
have occurred there.
Micronesia,
in previous
the whole
times.
Of Micronesia is basically that. Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Northern Marianas.
Everybody's down to zero.
Palau. You know, and what's interesting, you and I have both been to these places.
Yeah. So is
even Guam is zero.
Yeah. Is that because they've not done any testing? Or is that because there just aren't any?
I don't know.
Okay. It's 11:15.
Thank you, Zarbox.
Zarbox doesn't even know. Now, okay, the rest of this page is really good information on the variants. The one thing that you have to understand is there are many variants. By letting this go,
we can't let this go on any longer, folks.
By not stopping it early, the variants are one of the freaky things. Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? Since I know I feel like I'm jumping around a little bit here.
That's okay.
But I got rid of the one story. I eliminated a story that had to do with very, very technical. You know, if anybody studies archaeology, they found out that you can determine a lot about how people migrated by looking at the way language changed.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's almost kind of like mutation in the language. And it's been very accurate. Well, they can do something similar to that on a molecular level with the viruses.
Yes.
And there was a cool story, long story short, it was so deep in the weeds, I decided we could never cover this well in an hour. But they basically were pointing out that they've been able to determine pretty much when the COVID-19 showed up and the thing is, you're looking at, what you start to realize is, oh my gosh, there are so many when they talk about noetic, the things that come from zoonotic, mm-hmm. or zoonotic, however people pronounce it, diseases, they literally think that they pop up all the time.
They do.
And they typically self-extinguish in like 7 to 9, they just disappear because, you know, they typically aren't highly transmissible.
Right.
Now, the COVID-19 ended up being one that
was very highly transmissible.
It was highly transmissible, but it wasn't visible because people just didn't start falling over dead.
Right.
So it was a cool story on that. But they went back and they determined a lot of interesting stuff about that.
Okay,
but,
so when do they believe that it began?
They think that from their analysis that sometime in October it may have shown up.
October of
2019.
Okay.
But that the first case didn't really emerge until December, you know, as a case.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it is interesting because part of what they're showing is that this kind of floated around and was unknown and persisted for
sense.
A long time.
Sure.
Again, it kind of pointed out that they pretty much think it, you know, came from some sort of a transmission from animal to human.
Mm-hmm. Makes
and
sense.
Then drifted around. Anyway, let's go back and jump into what I think is one of the best stories of this particular time. This guy named Dr. Rick Bright.
Dr. Bright on the far left.
Yeah, it says here. Well, I don't know if he's on the... No, I know.
Well,
no,
on the far left of the screen.
Pandemic whistleblower. We need a non-political way to track viruses. Rick Bright, who exposed former U.S. President Donald Trump's political meddling, now he's spearheading a privately funded initiative to rapidly contain coronavirus variants and outbreaks of other pathogens. So this is a very cool story. You know, when you read through it, oh, there's a funny picture of him. There's other stories that may be a little more political. The part that I'm looking at as important is here's a good man and a good organization, and they're going to be doing good things. He's now with the Rockefeller Foundation.
Good.
And it says, Rick Bright put his career on the line last year when he blew the whistle on how stuff was being handled. He was then the director of the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, responsible for countermeasures against pandemics, bioterrorism, and other health emergencies. And he was abruptly removed from the agency. Now,
I'm sure there were good reasons for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that there's a big book here somewhere, and I'm not sure that whether anybody will ever write it. But they claim that it was his vocal opposition to hydroxychloroquine that... that got him removed, and I don't really think that's the case.
I don't think so.
Anyway, last week, the Rockefeller Foundation announced he would become the senior vice president of the pandemic prevention activities.
Wow.
And his first thing to do was, I mean, this is what everybody said, the first thing he should have done, you know, in January of 2020, testing. And so what they're doing is they're using really, really high-level genomic sequencing and testing to track coronavirus SARS in the United States and to communicate results quickly enough to shape the country's response.
Well, here's a thought.
So, yeah. And so,
Wait. I was under the mistaken concept that back in March of 2000, that all of this was supposed to be going on.
Yeah. Well, it should have been.
It should have been. Okay.
So anyway, the thing that is really important is He said, we never want to be in this position again.
No.
And I know...
we do not. Well, I do not.
This was what was said back when they dealt with Ebola and other stuff. And when he was put in position before being removed, he said, I mapped out all the various major vulnerabilities in a response from the infection to the last mile of vaccine administration. So I know he's looking at some things that we're interested in, Robert.
Yes.
Like the fact that everybody's panicked because we're not going to be able to vaccinate the world with needles right now.
No, we can't do it. There aren't enough.
And hopefully he's looking at some of that stuff, and I believe he is. And the gap he kept coming back to is the most impactful for where we are now was to have a resilient early warning system. Testing.
The three most important things.
The group that was eliminated that had been put in place to do exactly what he's talking about. Now, the rest of it there's a bunch of good stuff to read. And, you know, I think it's really important to read through this, but you are so smart out there. We know that you can do it yourself.
You can read on your own.
You can do it. Now,
you can do it.
Just a quick touch on this thing with Dr. Redfield. Ex-CDC head claims without evidence, and he's going to be on this the CNN thing, that COVID-19 began in a China lab.
Oh, yeah. This guy. Okay,
so this is a confluence of two things. For me, this is a story that is kind of like a variant of the big lie, and it's also, again, it's an anti... Once again, we're beating up on... Somehow that China was, but the thing that's good in this story is that Dr. Fauci replies to Dr. Redfield's belief, because Dr. Redfield just keeps saying, well, this is just an opinion, just an opinion.
Oh, you know, whenever somebody says that, I say, okay, it's an opinion, but what are the facts?
Well, and the...
Okay, because there's...
Exactly.
Yeah, because what you want is you don't want someone's opinion, you want the facts. What are the facts? Because the facts are what we need to act on. The opinions are what you need to ignore.
Well, and the other thing, that this is, again, perpetuating something that's not founded.
Right.
If I was to guess, this virus started transmitting somewhere in September, October,
if
and
I were
on,
to guess, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to find the facts.
Well, he says, that's my feelings.
That's my feeling. It's
only
my opinion.
I'm allowed to have opinions
well,
now.
Well, sure, you can have them, but you can't say, I'm going to take the reality and I'm going to toss that out and I'm going to put my opinion in to replace it. Opinion is perfectly fine. Everyone should have their opinion. But that doesn't mean that the opinion needs to take the place of facts.
Well, and certainly shouldn't take the... It shouldn't be the sole thing that moves policy.
No,
so.
No. It should be facts. Facts should move
anyway, so this,
the direction that...
And
that
the reason why this
in.
Is kind of important is that this next... topic that says COVID team. This is just a link talking about how, again, here he is. I might even be the same picture because it's from CNN. This is autopsy of a pandemic. Six doctors at the center of the U.S. COVID-19 response. Now, the good news would be that Sanjay Gupta he'll hold them accountable, and this probably will be interesting. But at the same time, I'm thinking, these are the guys who did such a lousy job to a certain extent, and probably a lot of them are trying to, you know, say, well, you know, I was there, but we're going to find out more about maybe what they had to fight against.
Yeah. And So it says the COVID war, the pandemic doctors speak out, which airs at 9 p.m. Sunday, March 28th on CNN. That's tomorrow night. I'm sure that it will be played again, and I'm sure that if for some reason that you should miss it, I'm sure that you could that you could play it again. I'm sure it's going to be online somewhere.
And the only comment I have is that it's interesting to me that the first thing that comes out of the fact that this is going to be on is they pull out the one thing that has probably been, let's just face it, in the view of recent Asian issues of, mm-hmm. Violence against an Asian population,
right.
To continue to even mention that particular thing
right.
when
over
it is,
and over again.
When
it's
unfounded,
it's not true.
In fact,
is an opinion.
Dr. Fauci has a pushback right. on it, and the World Health Organization has basically come down on the side of it being, having transmitted from a... even though it's not clear where, their idea that it escaped from a lab is like highly unlikely. Right. So most of the facts out there are completely at odds with this thing. And so it's a shame that it becomes the giant, the message. All right, we're going to jump over to Copper Mask.
Copper masks.
We talked about a story where surfaces that were like copper, like in a laboratory or something, actually were the most efficacious at preventing viral, like viral spread and stuff. Viruses landing on a surface that was copper actually disappeared. And so it's interesting that somebody from the American Chemical Society is talking about copper foam. I'm thinking, wow, copper foam.
Okay, I just checked back and I found, let's see.
It's way back. We looked at it a long time ago.
March 14, 2020, had something called copper. And I am going to click on that.
See
March 14th. 2020, and this was the Science News, using copper to prevent the spread of respiratory viruses. And this was from November 10th, 2015.
Wow.
So it said, new research from the University of Southampton has found that copper can effectively help to prevent the spread of respiratory viruses, which are linked to severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, and Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, MERS.
Wow, so that
MERS
was...
and SARS. So back on November 10th, 2015, was an article that talked about this, and we reported it on March 14th.
Jeez.
2020. Now, back to...
back to today.
Back to today.
It was literally 6 years later.
Okay.
We're in March of 2020.
Isn't this interesting?
Now, the neat thing about it, and I love it because it's a nanotechnology story.
Yes.
Now, it goes through a long process of what they did. It says they took copper nanowires and they all jumbled, and then they made it into they ended up making it into a metal foam. So you think of an open cell foam, which means that
open cell
stuff can travel through it. But check this out. It says particles smaller than
microns.
Yeah, microns can stay airborne. So
for hours.
Now, according to this thing, the neat thing about trying to create something with small enough pores to do that can be a problem. But it says that the team found metal foams had the filtration efficiency for particles within 0.1 to 0.16 microns.
Okay.
Which is because, it says the most effective material was that particular, pore size, and then it was in a 2.5 millimeter thick version.
Wow, that's really thin.
It's
that's
thin.
One nth of an inch.
And it basically said that this would trap, because of the large surface area and the particle size, it would trap 97% of anything from 0.1
to 0.4. And aerosolized salt particles.
Yeah, and then you could still breathe through it. But here's the nice thing, Robert. This can be used over and over again because it can be clean.
Oh,
it can be heat treated.
So your mask is an infinite mask.
Right. It says recyclable.
And
here's the part that I thought, well, this is going to cost some bucks. Well, the researchers estimate materials would be about $2 per mask at present.
Whoa.
So this needs to be out here.
So you need to buy one mask one time for $2. And it will trap 97% of 0.1 to 0.4 microns.
Yeah, and it doesn't even address the fact that it can be cleaned. And they're mostly just talking about filtration capacity.
Right.
They haven't even addressed the
fact.